Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today on the show, we're talking about the property clock. Now, we've been talking about property cycles a lot recently because we're basically going through a bit of a turn in the property cycle at the moment. Now, a couple of you guys messaged in and said, Ed and Andrew, what do you guys think about the property clock? So we're going to talk about that today. Now, I do want to say, I personally don't like the property clock, which is the reason why this is the first time we have ever talked about it on the Property Academy podcast. But we'll get into the reasons why I don't like it soon. Start us off, Andrew. What is the property clock?
Well, people use this because property is a cyclical asset and basically you can go through a full cycle. Typically, you'll look at a clock and say, okay, well, the top of the clock is the peak of the market. And then right the way through to the bottom of the market, which is, you know, 6 o'clock on the clock, where's the bottom of the market?
And I think the reason people like it is it very simply and easily shows the swings and roundabouts of the property market. You can imagine that as the hand is going from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, so it's going down, property prices are going down. But then you also know, like most assets, eventually it's going to swing the other way as well. So it just gives you a sense of, well, you might be going through a downward trajectory at the moment in terms of house prices falling, but at some point they'll likely go up again. So walk us through a typical property clock. Where does it start? Where does it end? What's happening at each time? Let's start with where we were at the top of the market. Let's talk about what's happening at 12 o'clock at the boom.
So a couple of years ago, exactly what we saw, rapid rising prices. So you see house prices going up at a much more drastic rate than what a normal average would be. And then after you follow through to kind of 1, 2, 3 o'clock, you end up with the falling yields because, of course, prices are so much higher than the rents that you can collect on that. Then the Reserve Bank kicks in and raises the interest rates, and all of a sudden prices start to fall, and then we start to return down to a drop in construction and stagnating of rents and harder to get finance, which I think then leads us to probably kind of close to where we are now, where you get stagnating or falling prices.
So it's fascinating as well that this specific property clock would have been designed, I think, 5 to 10 years ago. And they were talking about that when you're at 2 o'clock, kind of 1 o'clock-ish, you'll start to see rising interest rates. And that is exactly what we saw over the last 2 years. Interest rates started to increase. That caused prices to start to go down. That meant that there was a significantly lower number of transactions going on. What's fascinating is at the very peak of the market, we saw 100,000 properties selling per year. At the bottom of the market, that fell 42%. It got down to 58,000 properties selling in a given year. And so that's when we get down to around that 3 or 4 o'clock. We see a lot fewer transactions going on, a lot of falling construction. What are we seeing in terms of construction numbers at the moment, Andrew?
Way down in terms of the number of consents that are being applied for from developers.
It went from about just over 4,000 a month to well under 3,000 a month. What's interesting here, this is something we haven't seen in our fall most recently. You know, they're saying on a typical property clock at about 4 o'clock, rents are stagnating or falling. We haven't seen that. What have we seen?
No, we've actually seen rents increasing, and part of that could be just around the interest deductibility and tighter regulation for landlords coming in conjunction with this part of the market. So on one hand, that might have occurred in a natural market, but because of increased taxes that landlords were paying, that might have pushed the rents up.
And so if you Google property clock and an image comes up, just be aware that not every single event around the property clock will necessarily happen. You may, in a typical property cycle, see rents fall if we're going through a recession. But because we've had so much inflation recently, we haven't actually seen falling rents. In fact, they have actually gone up. Now, once we hit 6 o'clock, what tends to happen next?
That's when you see the sort of stagnation of your falling house prices. So we might see a slowdown in those drops that have been occurring, and then you get to a point where maybe it starts to pick up or at least bottom out.
And so how do we get from 6 o'clock back to 12 o'clock in the property clock?
So then you see lower interest rates. So the Reserve Bank starts to bring down the interest rates, stimulate the economy. Often you'll see higher unemployment, which is exactly what we're seeing right now, right?
Well, it's quite interesting that even as we move from number 6 or 6 o'clock on the property clock moving up into a bit of a recovery, some bad stuff can still happen, like higher unemployment. And we are seeing that at the moment. You've got significant job cuts happening in the public sector. And so we will see unemployment start to creep up, even though the property market is improving. And then we gear up to about 9 o'clock, which is the recovery phase. What's happening there?
So then we've got rising yields. So you'll see rents start to be pushed up a little bit. All of a sudden, cash flows a little bit better because those interest rates are down. That pushes your house prices up. And all of a sudden, you have an increased number of momentum and sales in the market, and then higher volumes of transactions going through.
Now, the thing that I've always find a bit funny about the property clock generally is you can kind of think of it as buyers and sellers markets. So when we're at 12 o'clock, when we're at the top of the property clock, it is definitely more of a seller's market because property prices are rising. Now, the funny thing is, that is exactly when a lot of buyers start to come into the market, even though it is the right time for sellers to be selling their properties, they're getting really good prices. That's when there's a lot of demand from buyers. When you're at 6 o'clock, when you're in that recessionary environment, property prices are falling or are nearer the bottom of the market, that is definitely the buyer's market. That's kind of where we are today. But even when you're in a buyer's market and buyers have the upper hand, that's where a lot of investors, people who want to purchase properties, sit on their hands and say, oh, it's a buyer's market, I'm not too sure about it. The whole point is, yeah, it's a buyer's market, you should be more excited about it rather than entering the market when it's more of that seller's market. Now, how do you use this as a property investor? I think the main thing to think about is if you are at 7 o'clock or if you are at 8 o'clock, if you're at 6 o'clock, that is where you are going to be more interested in purchasing compared to if we were at a 1 o'clock or a 2 o'clock on the property clock where the property market is starting to swing down. Now, where are we at right now, if you had to say, Andrew?
So confidence is low still at the moment, and that's because we've had GDP growth that has been negative for the last two quarters, so recession. We've got unemployment at 4%. We've got interest rates that are still at a very, very high level. Now, sales volumes have picked up mid-2023. Prices have stabilized, so we're not seeing those same drops that we were seeing 12 months ago. So I'd say we're probably sitting around 7 o'clock on the property clock.
But it's probably important to recognise that every region's different. So I always think that this idea of a New Zealand property market or a New Zealand average house price is totally fanciful because we are all investing in different regions. So if I think about something like Otago, Otago at the moment is a 9 o'clock, 100%, because property prices have increased by about 10% since the bottom of the market. So they are seeing rising prices. They are seeing rising sales. Even though interest rates are yet to fall, Otago is further along in the property clock than some other regions. Now, if I compare that to the Bay of Plenty, the Bay of Plenty, property prices have only increased about 2% since the bottom of the market. And therefore, I'd put them definitely at more of a 6 o'clock. So every other region is somewhere between that 6 and 9 o'clock within the property clock. So not everywhere is exactly the same. Now, I do need to go on a bit of a rant because there are some things that I really don't like about the property clock, which is where I think people kind of get it wrong when trying to understand the property market, because the property market does not work exactly like a clock. So some people forget that property prices increase over time. So even if you go from 12 o'clock down to 6 o'clock and then back up to 12 o'clock, it's not like prices have gone from $800,000, fallen to $500,000, and then are back to $800,000, then they go down to $500,000, then they're back to $800,000, then down to $500,000, then up to $800,000, then down to $500,000. Property prices tend to increase over time. It's not like they go up and down within a very, very small band. That is something people are not always clear on. The other thing, Andrew, is that you don't move through the property clock very swiftly. So previously, how long did we say a boom lasts?
So actually, we did a podcast just the other day talking about the property cycles. And we said, you know, it takes 10 years to get around that full property clock. So we said 6 years for a boom, 2 years for a full, 2 years for a stagnation.
So if we apply that to the property clock, it might take you only 2 years to get from 1 o'clock down to 5 o'clock. It might take you another 2 years to get from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And then it might take 6 years to get from, you know, kind of 7 o'clock back around to that 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock-ish. And so some parts of this cycle you will move through more quickly than others. So it's not like saying, well, it takes 12 years to get around the property clock and it takes you 1 year to get from 12 to one and another year to get from one to two and then two to three and so on and so forth. Some parts you will swing around more quickly than others. Other thing to recognise as well is you will stagnate at some parts of these property clocks. So we talked previously about Manawatu, Wanganui and also Wellington about where prices stagnated for somewhere between 8 to 10 years. I think in Gisborne at one point, property prices stayed the same for about 12 years in total. That means you could be at 7 o'clock at the property clock and stick there for roughly 12 years. So it's not like you are always moving. It's not like it always takes a year to get from 1 hour to the next. And that's just something people need to be really aware of when they're using this model. Now, Andrew, I know we were speaking to another economist as well about how long it takes to get around the property clock.
Yeah, we spoke to Gareth at Infometrics and he looked at the peaks and troughs over the market of over a 70-year period. So he looked at a lot more data than just a single cycle or a couple of cycles. And he calculated slightly differently because he adjusted for inflation. And based on his numbers, he thinks it takes around 7 years to get through the full property clock on average. Now, remember the on average part's important because sometimes you have a much faster occurring cycle and sometimes you have a slower. So for example, the COVID property cycle was really, really fast because our interest rates were brought down very quickly and prices escalated really, really quickly. Other times it might take a longer period of time, 10 years. So on average, it works out to be 7.
Now, one thing some people ask is whether property cycles are getting longer. What's your view on that?
So I was of the opinion that they were, just anecdotally. But then when we did that last show recently and we looked at the last three property cycles, that wasn't supported by the data.
Yeah, it was all around 10 years back then. But I know Gareth was looking at data over the last 70 years and there were some really quick ones back in the day. So I think between 1980 and 1984, property prices doubled in like 4 years.
I feel like now you've got a lot more government intervention around housing, so that's probably why we see them taking longer.
Yeah, okay, so it might even it out. Now, one other question is why aren't property cycles all the same then?
Because usually the things that will speed a property cycle up or slow it down are different. So, for example, you think about the GFC. We had a big drop in property prices mid-2007 to early 2009, around 10%, and then prices bounced back for a year after that, after they bottomed out. COVID, we had record low interest rates, like 2.29 was that lowest we got to? Pretty low, right? 2.29. And it was the era of free money. You could go get money from the bank. It was pretty easy. That pushed house prices up very, very quickly. And as a result, it was different to previous cycles. And you think about, you know, the government policy changes. So supply of new housing through KiwiBuild, the interest deductibility removal, and then the unwinding of that, the Brightline changes. I think all of these things are different things that affect the housing cycle in different ways. So you can't say with all certainty a property cycle is always going to be 7 years or 10 years.
Yeah, then the other question is, well, is it a good time to invest? So if we're at 7 o'clock in the market, what's going to happen? Well, as I was saying before, we are currently at a buyer's market where there are a lot more options. There are a lot of listings at the moment. There aren't as many people out there purchasing properties. And so if we're thinking about the ability to go out and find a property that meets your investment requirements, what you're looking for in an investment property, you are much more likely to find it today and to have the ability to negotiate it today compared to 5 or 6 years in the future, where we might swing up to at 11 o'clock or at 8 o'clock in the property market, depending on which region you're in. So it's definitely a better time to buy a property today than it might be in 4 or 5 years. You'd also argue it's better to buy a property today than it was 2 or 3 years ago at the peak of the market.
I think the big thing there is to remember that there's always positive and negatives of buying in a particular market. So there's no perfect time to buy something either because it's hard to get lending right now. So whilst you might get a good deal, it's hard to get lending and it's higher interest rates.
The last thing to think about is, well, okay, we're at 7 o'clock-ish. What does it take for us to progress within the property cycle and move up to 8 o'clock where you might have even more rising prices than what we're currently seeing? I think it'll probably take about 2 years for us to move up to that 8 o'clock mark, which is we're going to see a couple of things. We've got to see interest rates coming down. I think we'll really start to see that over the next 1 to 2 years. That's where you'll start to see a bit of a rallying in prices. And the other thing that I often think about is it takes time for the average person on the street to be able to understand what's actually happening in the property market and for people to realise that things are changing, that there is a lot of competition, that interest rates are starting to trickle down. We've actually seen over the last, would call it 6 months, probably a decrease of about 0.5% in terms of the interest rate people are actually paying. So the advertised interest rate got up to about 7.4%. The average one-year interest rate you can negotiate today is about 6.9%. But the average punter on the street hasn't realised that yet, and it's still going to take some time for people to realise that things are changing now. That's what it's going to take for us to get to 8 o'clock on the property clock. Right, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you are listening to this on the audio version of the podcast, you want to see the property clock we're talking about, just Google Opus Partners YouTube. It'll be the first thing that comes up. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. We release new videos on here every Monday and Wednesday. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back here tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.